Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Carver Watson with Let's Talk.
We acknowledge.
Hey, look out. That's not supposed to happen.
Hello. We acknowledge the sovereignty of all First Nations people right across the country, particularly the local traditional owners, the Yugga and Turrbal people of the Greater Brisbane region, well, now known as Brisbane, the country now known as Brisbane. And, of course, welcome to all of our listeners tuned in across the National Indigenous Radio Service or wherever you are if you're streaming on the web. I'm joined in the studio live this morning by Mr. Bo Spearham. Good morning, brother.
Good morning, Carver. How you going?
I'm going good, mate. I've been having a good old time off, old Let's Talk.
Yeah.
You've been holding the reins, mate. You've been doing very well, if I don't say, don't mind saying so myself.
You had a trip up north there as last week.
How'd I did. That go? It was very good, mate. We went up to Burketown, golf country up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, for the rodeo.
Golf Country Frontier Days Rodeo, and what a rodeo it was. It was a sort of star-studded lineup of entertainment as well, which was deadly. Troy Cassidaly, Casey Chambers, but my favourite performance was Shane Howard on Friday night, and Troy jumped up with him, solid rock for the first.
Yeah, mad.
It was very deadly. But, mate, I'm sort of here as just a bit of a panelist today. You've lined up a guest for us this morning.
Yes.
So we might bring her in, and we're joined on the phone by Lydia Thorpe. Good morning, Lydia.
Good morning, brothers.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, deadly.
Do you mind starting with your mob and your country and let the listeners know sort of, where you come from?
Sure. So my people are the Gunai and Gunadjmara people, so southeast Vic and western districts. Live in Melbourne though, and come from the famous Thorpe family of Melbourne, who've been fighting this fight forever.
Certainly have, and Melbourne's been a focal point of a lot of sort of political activism, especially over the last sort of, 5-10 years as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen a lot of deadly, demonstrations and especially when it comes around time for the 26th of January, which is, I think is what's something that Bo was happening to talk about today. Is that right, mate?
Yeah. No, we wanted to have a yarn with Sister Lydia about, their progression of, coming out in force on the 26th January, but then also, from, like what they've been doing solidly for the last, 10, 15 years, some councils have come out and decided to sort of, move forward. And, that's what our discussion is based on. So it's the Yarra Council and then also the Durban Council have come out and said that they want to scrap, the celebration of Australia. And you coming from down that way, I guess you'd be one of the best people to speak on that there.
But could I just sort of add to that, Bo? Lydia, if you could sort of, before we get to that point, just talk about where you have sort of come from. Because I know we've been, our mob have always had a rally or some sort of demonstration on 26th of January right across the country.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always been the case. But I remember going as a teenager and we'd be lucky to have, maybe 50 people that would turn up. And now we're actually starting to see a bit of a groundswell and more mob turn up, but also non-Indigenous people. So could you talk about sort of the growth that you've seen or the change that you've seen on the ground there in Melbourne, which, it's now culminating in these councils changing the date?
Absolutely. I mean, I was the same. I grew up marching for NAIDOC Week and for against 26th of January. I think I did a presentation last night and pulled out a photo of myself when I was about 6 at a march with all my mob. And we didn't have as many people marching in those days, and certainly not a lot of white fellas. But I think people are starting to learn the true history of our country. I think by having Aboriginal people you know, working alongside councils or working in with councils and educating these fellas and bringing people on board, you know, people are starting to realise that to have any real change in this country, then they need to be a part of it. We've got our young people, and I'll put a call out to the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance, who, as a, you know, young collective, went over to Turtle Island and you know, learnt about the struggle there and came back energised and ready to take on the fight here as a young collective. And I think from that, you know, seeing our young fellas standing up and speaking out has just generated this groundswell, as you say, and this resurgence of young people with that same fire in their bellies as our old people did that, you know, have been fighting for generations.
So yeah, go on.
Yep.
I was just going to say, so where did this sort of, how did they even start to ask the question in the council?
Mm.
You know, did they sort of take that off their own back, or was there a bit of sort of, you know, a bit of lobbying and people sort of saying, oh, look, that's not right? And what's the background?
Those two councils are on Wurundjeri land and, you know, they're two very progressive councils, so they get it. You don't have to, you know, preach to the converted all the time. It's these fellas get it, and there's a lot of Greens councillors on those two councils. But as I said, the people that have been working with these councils have really paved the way, I think, to changing attitudes. And the vote at Darebin was there were two people that voted against the motion, and you know their statements were just so uninformed, ignorant kind of statements that you hear from, you know, kind of the redneck community about, you know, what one woman even put us in the, referred to us as plants and how we got to, you know, celebrate the plants and the diversity and the culture of the Aboriginal people, and we can have smoking ceremonies on the 26th of January. We can include the Aboriginal people on this day. And she, you know, those two people that voted against it had no idea, absolutely no idea of the hurt that date creates for us. Mm-hmm. And Yarra's the same, you know, another very progressive council that have, you know, had traditional owners. There's a traditional owner that actually works for Yarra Council still today, and he's been instrumental in educating people there. So I think, you know, that's two councils out of many more to come.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably another five that are talking about doing this also. And it's also generated interest from blackfellas across the state in their own municipalities to say, come on, let's go to council, knock on their door, and see what they're doing about this. So I think there's just a change. There's a lot of truth-telling going on. I think treaty has, you know, sparked off these conversations also. Can't have a treaty unless we start talking, you know, about the true history of this country, start owning the true history of this country, and there's some of the conversations that are being had.
Mm. And I guess, like, that opens up the door, yeah, you know, for these conversations, like you were saying. And, you know, even, you know, to sort of have, you know, I saw in the news the councillor for, how do you pronounce it, Durban?
Darebin.
Darebin, sorry, for the council for Darebin, you know, come out and said, you know, like, we're willing to, you know, have dialogue with, you know, Aboriginal mob down that way to sort of see how, you know, they want to sort of mourn the day, celebrate the day, you know, like have some, you know, have a big input in that day. You know, and I think like that, their side of it as well, you know, says a lot
Darebin
of...
Darebin have the, you know, one of the oldest organisations in Victoria, and that's the Aborigines Advancement League, which is based on, you know, having a political voice for our people. So you've got many Aboriginal organisations that sit in the municipality of Darebin, strong organisations, and the second largest population of blackfellas in the Darebin municipality. So yeah, they're certainly on board. And, you know, these fellas don't just do an acknowledgement to country when they before they start their proceedings. They stand up and say that sovereignty was never ceded and that this is Aboriginal land and always was and always will be. So there's no, you know, tokenistic gesture. It's real stuff, and I'm quite impressed by, you know, some of the words these fellas use in their council chambers, because they're putting their money where their mouth is and starting to create change for us.
Lydia, what sort of, I guess, you know, with the change of the date, how does the community down there, will there be sort of some sort of commemoration or, you know, like day of mourning or something like that? Like, have you had that discussion about, if these fellas, if they're not going to recognise that 26th of January, did you fellas have anything in mind that yous were going to do or any suggestions to them?
Look, there's been no yarn about that yet. We'll still have a rally on the 26th of January, because I don't believe that, you know, we're going to hope that all councils jump on board and nothing happens. We still need to maintain our presence and our resistance. Mm-hmm. There's been, no collective discussion at this point. I think we need to reflect on William Cooper's stance for the day of mourning, and maybe that's where councils can stand with us and have a day of mourning and then talk about a day of celebration that we can all agree upon. Because we can't just change the date. We're just moving the problem to another day. We need to address the problem.
So do they just, are they moving the date or are they just scrapping the day altogether so they don't have a day throughout the year?
They're changing the name to the Darabin Community Awards, and they're having it on the 25th of January.
Oh, yeah.
And they want to know hear from blackfellas about what awards they want to have included in the Darabin Awards.
And like after the Yarra Council came out, they were told that they can't hold citizenship ceremonies on that day, and then the same thing with the Darabin Council as well. Is that sort of what's going to be incorporated in the in that day on the 25th? Or is that just going to be strictly about mob?
I'm not sure about that. We've certainly offered to have sovereign ceremonies and have Aboriginal people start doing citizenship ceremonies, which starts with, the truth telling. Mm. So we've offered that to those councils. But also I know that there's been a couple of MPs who have the authority to hold citizenship ceremonies who've offered their support to both councils to hold them under their licence, if you like. So, I'm not... Our mob need to get together and talk about where we need to go with this. But, we need the time to do that. I mean, at the moment, we're dealing with so much racism as a result of these two councils doing this, the backlash is on our mob.
I was just about to ask that. What is the sort of, response from not just there in the local community but across the country? I mean, we've heard Malcolm Turnbull come out and call it un-Australian or something of the like.
Mm.
What's some of the sort of – we'll get to the political sort of response in a moment, but what is some of the backlash that you're referring to?
Well, we're being called racist. I've received – hate mail, telling me that I'm dividing the country by supporting these councils and speaking out in support of the council's decisions. The council.
That's sort of ironic, isn't it? It's a bit ironic.
Absolutely,
the country's been divided since it started.
Exactly, and these fellas, and I'm not, sticking up for them. But, you know, these fellas have gone through education systems that have lied to them for generations. So they have no idea. They have no idea of the hurt that's created for us on that day. And you only need to look at the Darabin mayor's Facebook page, and the barrage of racial comments is disgusting. To the point where you see some of our mob on there, and you know we're getting sucked into some of these really vile comments that, you know, we've had to say, just don't. We just can't make any more comment. There's too much hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, they're saying things like, you know, Centrelink offices aren't open at the moment, so what are you doing up so early? And you should be still rubbing sticks together. And when you do some background checks on these fellas, you know, some of them are part of the Patriots, so that's coming out. It's rearing that's rearing its ugly head. Mm. There's one lad from Bendigo who's, you know, against the Muslims in Bendigo that's having a go at us here. So it is a concern, and we've got to protect our children throughout this, because it's only going to get worse, I think, the more councils that take this stand. It is ironic that white fellas are so precious about this day and that they're hurt, that we want it changed, or we want some justice and truth-telling, that they just don't get the hurt that we have. That's associated with it. So I think councils need to think about that and take responsibility also, and educate their communities, and try and do it in a way that you know, brings about understanding and peace. And that was one of my questions to Darabin that night, is, you know, I want to know what Darabin are doing about educating people, because even in that room, the people that spoke against the motion, they just had no idea. They were making the rest, you know, the room of blackfellas and supporters feel uncomfortable. It became an unsafe environment in the council chambers because of people's uneducated, ill-informed comments.
Mm. You know, we've watched the media coverage of these demonstrations and stuff in the US, with, you know, the removal of
Confederate flags.
I mean, there's huge similarities in this, you know, in both of these situations. Mm. It's about sort of writing history, or rewriting history, or telling that truth of the history, you know, and making some changes to you know, to make, I guess, our current situation more of an even keel. You know, and a safer space, particularly for, you know, for our mob and for minority groups in or African Americans in the US. Yeah. But we're seeing the same sort of resistance and the same sort of, I'll call it hatred, you know, from conservative groups targeted at, you know, arguably the most marginalized people of each society.
Mm-hmm.
It begs the question, you know, what are our young people learning in school, you know?
That's right. And it is hatred. It's so hurtful. And, you know, I made a comment yesterday that I must not comment on the racist comments, because we have to strengthen ourselves as blackfellas we have to prepare ourselves for this.
Yeah.
You know, we've been fighting the fight for so long. And as soon as you start to feel like we're making some kind of difference and things are starting to change, we get smashed from left field from these from this hatred, this hate speak, and we've just got to prepare our mob for that, because it does hurt and it does create anger within ourselves, and we can't respond to that. You know, we can't. Yeah.
It's a squeaky wheel thing, though, you know, like you get these sort of an outspoken minority of people in the far right carrying on. But, I mean, you can't, when you hear that stuff and you see that stuff, you can't let that dictate, you know, your stance and position on things that matter. The fact is that we've got actual, you've got councils now that are saying, no, 26th January is not a date to celebrate. You know, and you can't let those comments or that negative feedback actually dictate, the way we feel about things and the way we move upon things, because the fact is that you are actually starting to see change. We are actually starting to see some change. Yep. And that doesn't mean there's not a lot of work to do, you know, but we can't be dissuaded, you know, and pander to the
comments. I agree, but it needs to be white fellas standing up for us and stamping out this hate speech.
Calling out their motherfuckers.
And that, because I spoke about this last night to this very privileged school, Xavier College, and I said, you fellas need to stand with us and you fellas need to stamp this out. You know, we're only a minority here, so we can't do this without you fellas. And, it's about them creating that change and having those conversations in areas that they have influence, because we can't do it on our own. We don't want any more of our young fellas locked up and murdered in prisons and, you know, beaten on the streets. So that's what I mean in terms of we have to be careful and we have to, you know, if white fellas want to support us, which we know many do, well, it has to start with standing up for us when times are hard on topics like this. And I think that's what these councils are doing, and all credit to that mayor, who you saw how she was treated yesterday on Sunrise. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we're faced with, unfortunately, and that's to see white fellas stand up for us like that. Well, that's what I want to see more of. And whoever has these reconciliation action plans, I want every one of those standing up for us too.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because racism, you know, like it only stops with our mob when something bad happens to our mob, you know. White fellas got to step their game up a bit. But yeah, you know, like I thought the councillor like held her own pretty good against on Sunrise the other morning, because like she was trying to bite for like a real controversial message, you know, grab there, but she held her own. I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm looking forward to these other councils. Like I'm guessing it'll be Moreland Council next, which is a neighbouring council, again on Wurundjeri land. Possibly Whittlesea Council, again on Wurundjeri land.
How many councils down there do you think will jump up and say no?
I used to work for the municipality. Association of Victoria. So I worked with the 79 councils in this state. There's still probably half of the councils that don't even fly our flag. So I'm guessing maybe 10, 15 councils might out of the 79. But I think that's enough to put some pressure on. The Minister for Aboriginal Affairs in Victoria is also the Minister for Local Government. So I'm looking forward to if and when she comes out and says something in support of us. I mean, she's going to be tested on this one, given she has both portfolios and given, you know, they're talking about this treaty. So I think it's timely that she comes out and says where she stands.
What's her history like in Indigenous affairs in terms of, Victorian mob, Corrie's down there? So is she sort of got a good track record or how's her reputation stand up for local mob down there?
She's a junior minister in Victoria. It seems to be the norm for blackfellas here that we always get the junior ministers and we're always trying to educate these fellas when they come in. So she's learning. She's still got I don't know whether she's taken her L plates off yet, but she's got the treaty discussion totally wrong. She's denying our clans and denying our old people. I'm sick of making excuses for her. I think she needs to just get it right or move on, hand the portfolio over to a more senior minister that's been around the block a few times. But yeah, I don't really have much faith in her leadership. Mm-hmm. For the simple fact that she's denying the 300 clans in Victoria, and our old people have no say in any of what's going on.
I think, you know, like with this, like with the process of these councils coming out saying, no, I think that's, you know, will serve justice in terms of hopefully, you know, directing a more, you know, directing the treaty talks a bit more, you know, better and stuff, like with the way these councils come out. Hopefully, you know, like that's sort of seen in some light, yeah. You know, to like, to her, you know, to sort of.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing with treaties, though, is that, you know, for a lot of people, when we talk about treaties, a lot of people are referring to the need for more local treaties, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be with your local government or, you know, state government and that sort of stuff. So, you know, maybe it is the sort of foundations that are building now for these local type agreements with the local councils and stuff. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I think the more we work in with the councils, the more results we're going to have, because they are ultimately the government closest to the people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're the ones who can influence. We can get on council and influence.
Mm.
So you know, I was impressed with the process the other night at Darabin, where we could just freely ask questions and, you know, we can put it in a submission to make a statement for or against the motions. So you can be a part of the decision-making, which I think is important for our mob. We just got to know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just... yeah, we've got to be part of it, I think. And I encourage my fellows to get on council, because we can be the change that we want to by being in those positions.
Now, I mean, we've spoken a bit about the state affair, Victorian state of affairs, and the local governments, the councils embracing this sort of change. But, I mean, it did get raised in, I believe, Question Time, and Malcolm Turnbull actually commented on it. And his response was not supportive. I don't think he supported it in the least, and was expressed his disappointment. Where do you think the role of the federal parliament falls to this sorts of stuff? Because I mean, they've spoken about changing the citizenship ceremony, so they're sort of taking away the significance of that day because they don't want to participate. But in my view, it's a bit. I mean, it's contrary to democracy. I mean, this is the whole sort of system and a system of governance that Western civilization is built on, is that people get to vote and have their say about the way in which they govern their affairs. And in the council, it's in a regional sense. And essentially that process has taken place, but he still doesn't like it. It seems a bit undemocratic to me, but I mean, what's your thoughts on that, Lydia?
Well, he also talks about the Australian values and that this isn't about the Australian values. Now, I don't know whether anyone's looked at the Australian values, but what he's saying and what he's doing is not in line with the Australian values. So he's contradicting even the Australian values and what he's preaching. He's also... you know, saying that this is divisive. Well, don't you think his comments are being divisive by saying that, you know, he's denying our voice and our place in this country, I believe.
But it's also non-Indigenous people that voted for that change as well. He's denying he's denying their voice as well.
Yeah. And he's creating the hate. He's creating the division with his comments. And I just think that we can stand up against that by working with those councils and offering up our sovereign citizenship ceremonies.
Mm-hmm.
Just going against what he's talking about. I think... he's never going to come round. He doesn't want a treaty. He doesn't want to recognise us in any way, shape or form. So I'm not really concerned about his his comments. I think it's the grassroots movement will change way government think and act.
Well, like they came out, was it at the start of the year when Fremantle decided to change their day, you know, not to celebrate, you know, they changed the angles to the 28th of January this year, and, you know, same thing, you know, like they came out and slammed them and said, you know, like, I don't think, you know, you should have these citizenship days as well. So, you know, like, yeah, it's always, you know, nothing new and out there from these fellas out there. It's like...
it's a pretty typical response, you know. Yeah. It's sort of what you expect. Mm. But, Lydia, I mean, with that response and there being backlash not only from local people but also the government, is there a sense between the community and these local councils of, you know, like, we have made a big decision, this is a change and we're in this together?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, there's a lot of conversation going on around now about, okay, how do we target the next lot of councils? Mm-hmm. Who's the mob in that community? Let's head for the peak bodies. Let's go and have these discussions. So this hasn't ended. It's far from over. And I can guarantee you there'll be many, many more councils that jump on board with this because they, you know, they have to ensure that they respond to their own community's needs.
Yeah.
And, you know, our people are in those communities. Mm. So you know what it's like on the 26th of January. You know, we don't come out of the house. We might go to the rally, but we go straight back home and we're wary getting back home on that tram when you're wearing that flag on your chest because of the racism that you have to endure from you know, on your travels back home. So
and there's quite a lot of alcohol consumed on that day as well. So you get a lot of people that are probably a bit boisterous and
name any of their
mouthy and that sort of thing.
Name any of their public holidays.
What is the role of social media in this? Because we have seen, you know, a huge increase in social media response to this hashtag change the date and that sort of stuff. You know, is this sort of the start of something you think is going to go across the country?
Absolutely. I think it already has, you know, and it's only going to grow in momentum. But we, you know, we have to be ready for it because... There's also that, you know, the other issue here of changing the date, not fixing the problem.
Yeah.
So we don't want to set ourselves up to have this country celebrate the same thing on another day and doing the same thing. So we've got to be careful with change the date. It needs to come with some accountabilities and some changes, major changes in this country for our people.
And obviously, like, that's going to be, you know, a slow process, but I think, you know, the councillor down there the other day said it, you know, perfectly, you know, this is a discussion that we want to have, you know, with the mob and that there, you know, and you know, like places like Victoria, you know, with the amount of numbers, you know, that came out on Invasion Day, you know, people say 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, you know, like how many of the numbers that was, you know, like, you know, like we said earlier, you know, like it's preaching to the converted, you know, there's already people there waiting in line, you know, for this process to start happening, you know, so it's sort of, you know, hopefully, you know, we get that domino effect.
Yeah. Last year we accidentally ran into the Australia Day parade, and it wasn't purposely done. It just our timing was out, and people just walked a little bit too fast down Bourke Street, and we ended up right at the end of the Australia Day parade. And some white fella just opened up the bollard and said, "Just join in," and so we did, and that was such a powerful moment. The police tried to stop us on their bikes and realised that they weren't going to stop, you know, tens of thousands of people from getting getting through. So they paved the way as well and said, okay, well, just go with it. And we peacefully protested. I was yelling out, but, you know, it was a non-violent protest at the back of the Australia Day parade. The lad on the speaker was saying, can you people stop? Can you people go away? And he got drowned out by the voices. But there were all of these tourists on the sidelines waving their Australian flags at us and clapping for us, thinking that we were part of the Australia Day parade. So it goes to show that, you know, people just don't know what's going on in this country. They don't know the truth. And I think if we're going to change the day, then it's got to start with that. Anyone coming into this country needs to know whose country they're coming in on and that there's protocols associated with that.
Yeah.
And also those that are already here, you know, they need to be accountable also to our people, and we can't change the date otherwise.
Totally, totally. You know, I think
just cancel it altogether.
Yeah, abolish Australia Day. But I think you know, like that's the thing as well. You know, like these fellas coming over, you know, like I've had some friends that work with refugee fellas, you know, that are looking for, you know, a status, you know, status to stay. And they're pretty much told, you know, like if you get involved in any political activity, you know, that'll go against, you know, you staying and stuff. You know, so these poor fellows, they're forced, you know, to assimilate, you know, like just like, you know, the majority of people. But yeah, I think that's one thing to look at. You know, like look at the Australia Day test, you know, like what, you know, like what's in it, and you know, how many references to, you know, do they have to, you know, to us? And
but it speaks to, you know, that lack of an actual input of, you know, First Nations people across the country into some form of citizenship ceremony and that sort of stuff. I mean, some might have a corroboree in that there now, but I mean, that sense of a welcoming of the, you know, of newcomers to this country, I think has been lacking for a long time, because every time somebody comes to this country, they still don't understand the history and they don't know about the status of our first people, you know? And it should be one of the first groups of people that they meet, you know, is that they're, and they're welcome to country and they're welcome to, you know, community, and they have a sense and understanding of this country. But the fact of the matter is, and you've spoken about it before, Lydia, is that this stuff has been written out of the history books and this country's never dealt with the status of our people, you know, and it's it's like this sort of just unspoken elephant in the room.
I think we're also missing an opportunity, and as a I'm the Victorian NAIDOC chairperson. I have been for, this is my fourth year. I've just been re-elected for the next 3 years. And one of the first things I did, because, you know, everyone loves NAIDOC, one of the first things I did coming in as a new chair was educate people about what NAIDOC was, where it came from.
Yeah.
And it come from a day of mourning on the 26th of January.
1932.
So, we've got an opportunity with NAIDOC to revisit this also and educate a lot of our own people that, you know, the foundation of NAIDOC. And so, you know, our NAIDOC march this year had 6,000 people coming to that, including the Islamic Association. I went and spoke to the Islamic Association and said, we need you fellas with us. You need to march with us. And the head of the mosque, he said, Lydia, my people will march with you. And they turned up at our NAIDOC march. We had all of these, you know, mobs from the Islamic Association, but also the multicultural mob, who wanted to be part of NAIDOC, but where they were getting educated on the foundations of where that come from, what that means to us. So I think we've got to, you know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to people, but we've got to move away from this bit of gammon stuff that does go on in NAIDOC week. And, yes, we can celebrate our survival, but we can never forget why we have NAIDOC and what that, you know, what that was in the beginning. Yeah, and that we, you know, why can't we have a day of mourning? So I think that needs to be at people's you know, at the forefront of people's minds during NAIDOC week as well.
Mm.
We held a minute silence at every NAIDOC event we had
mm-hmm.
because it was reflective of a day of mourning.
Yeah.
So I asked before about the, you know, about sort of coming together. I guess is there also a sense now between mob down there and local government that, you know, everybody's watching now? It's like, you know, we've broken from the norm, you know, that you're sort of one of the first and, you know, sort of starting to blow on the embers, so to speak, of this Change the Date campaign and actually taking some action. What is the sort of, what are the next steps, you know, for moving forward?
I think, you know, you can see it now, Yarra and Darabin are they're banding together and coming out and you know, doing media stuff together. So I think the more councils that do that, you know, they can form a collective and have the support of our mob. Yeah, I think the next steps are putting pressure on those councils that are thinking about doing it right now. We know the councils that won't do anything. We'll, you know, we'll worry about them later. But, you know, on the ground right now, we're putting pressure on those councils that need to follow suit.
Is there
but we need to come together as the people and you know, talk about what the alternative is.
Definitely.
I mean, I remember the yarns about the remember the mosques going up in Bendigo, and that was a site for a few sort of protests and that by a few alt-right groups and stuff. Are you concerned about, as more and more councils start to make this decision, that, you know, there is going to be this sort of response, that you get these alt-right groups turning up, sort of demonstrating and sort of thing?
It's already happening. I mean, on social media particularly, it's those groups that are, you know, have started the hate speak already. So that will happen, and we have to just prepare ourselves. You know, maybe we need to start notifying the authorities about the threats that are out there already as a result of these decisions.
Yeah.
So that's going to happen.
So
I do have concerns for the 26th of January coming up because of some of the comments that are being made around, you know, people travelling to Victoria and travelling to Melbourne to participate on and celebrate Australia Day, and that came from one of the patriots.
I don't think.
Yeah, go on.
Oh no, I don't think, you know, like 20,000 people are going to try and travel to Melbourne and, like, you know, try and celebrate Australia Day or somewhat disrupt, like, the invasion day in March with, like, the amount of people that these fellas had. Like, I'll have to, you know, get a lot of fellas to come down there. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sis.
Yeah, but the way these fellas carry on, you know, they do become violent.
Yeah.
And our marches are so peaceful in terms of non-violent that you only need a couple of idiots like that to you know, gee some of our mob up, or even not even our mob. It could be white fellas marching with us, and you know, it could turn into a really violent protest that we will be tarnished with and we will be blamed for. So I do have that in the back of my mind, and that's why these councils need to ensure that you know, we go about this in a respectful way, that's educating people, and we're not just coming out saying cancel out Australia Day because we're, you know, because that's what we want. There needs to be education around what that means and why we want that.
Absolutely. Now, Lydia, we sort of are coming towards the end of the show. If there is sort of anything that you wanted to share with mob across the country, particularly around, you know, this Change the Date stuff, or just mob that are in other places and not sure where to start, or even want to support mob down there, how can they go about that?
Look, I think that I encourage all of our mob to go and, you know, knock on council's door and ask what they're doing about this movement, to get on board with the movement. You saw what the Warriors of the Aboriginal Resistance done and created the movement around this country. I think we can do the same. But we just need to, get on board and get on social media, and let's just keep yarning about this and share some of these stories of our resistance and our strength, because we will become targets. But as long as we're united as a people, we'll get through this next struggle of our lives.
Well, it's nothing new, eh? A mob have been putting up with this sort of stuff since 1788.
Yeah, 1788.
Yep.
And but you know, we speak to our old people, and they, you know, some of them at times, like we see this young fellow pass away, Dowdy, and we see these deaths in custody. You wonder whether or not we make any ground, you know, and our old people think, look, you know, nothing's changing. But other times you see stuff like this and you think, no, that wouldn't have happened 50 years ago, you know, 30 years ago, 20 years ago.
5 years ago.
Yeah.
We can't give up hope. We owe this to our ancestors and our old people. So we can't give up yet. You know, we can't go down without a fight. And that's what keeps me going and my mob going. Mm-hmm. And we know that there, you know, we've got warriors around this country that are, you know, walking with us all the way, mm-hmm. and we want people to know that we're walking with them too.
Deadly. Anything else, Deadly, Bo?
That's all from me. But you know, just some of love, you know, to your sisters and Uncle Rob and your mum and your nan and stuff, sis. You know, like,
hey, look, this is a talkback show. Getting all personal.
No. send your love to your family down there, you know, for me and out there. Yeah.
Will do. Deadly.
No worries. Well, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
Thank you.
No worries. You've been listening to Let's Talk, and we've been speaking to Lydia Thorpe about the changes to local councils down in the Victoria.
Yeah, Victoria.
What's the councils? Yarra and?
Yarra and Darabin.
Darabin. Mm. So if you want to support, you can check out their stories on social media or support them on social media or have a yarn with your own local councils and keep this conversation going.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very good, brother. We might wrap it up, go to some music.
Yep, of course, deadly.
Thank you for joining us today. It's good to be back. You've been listening to Let's Talk. We'll be back tomorrow.
It takes two to tango, and it's so hard to smile when you're living in a jungle beneath the poverty line. And I guess that I'd be wishing that all them politicians just went missing. Mr. Johnny Howard and his 10-point frown wouldn't last a New York minute down in my hometown. Hey, I know he's never been there, and if he did, well, I'll make sure he shouts the town at least one round. And as for Miss Pauline Hanson, hey man, she's really mean. What scares me even more is all them rednecks on her team. And I'm still sure that it's been more than fish and chips that old lady's fried. For all souls who've suffered underneath your royal crown, for all the children stolen with their families broken down, you have to find it in your heart to simply say that I apologize. 'Cause it takes two to tango, and it's so hard to smile when you're living in a country that tries so hard to hide the fact that most of history has been nothing but a road of genocide. broken down. You have to find it in your heart to simply say that I apologize. Yeah, you have to find it in your heart to simply say that I apologize.
Sunday nights, 7 till late. It's the Request Show with me, Uncle Pete. If you'd like to make a request or give us your opinion on anything at all, call on 07-3892-0183 and leave a message naming your mob or your location, your name, and, of course, your request. Then be listening to hear your message along with that deadly song request. And, of course, playing the best country music along with the finest First Nations music you'll ever get anywhere.
Black man tell me all his
story. So tune in from 7 p.m. Sunday night, Brisbane time, for that Request Show with me, Uncle Pete, right here on 98.9 FM for the very best country. Do it.
From 3 weekday arvos for The Drive Show with Elijah Blair. Eli will be guaranteed to have his finger on the pulse of Brizzy, providing local and national news, sports, traffic, weather, and all that's happening in our town.
Hey, what's up? This is Kit Moore.
Hey, this is Greg Campbell.
This is Imogen Clark.
Hi, this is Christy Lamb.
This is Michael Ring of The Drive Show with Elijah Blair on 98.9 FM for the best country.
So tune in weekday afternoons for The Drive Show with Elijah Blair. He's pretty.